Thanks, Rob. It's Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman with Until 11 o'clock. Coming up, we're playing the worst, 312-981-7200. Elizabeth Gomez, Mars Timms in studio tonight. This is where we complain about the worst things in society for prizes, for a gift card to Lou Malnati's. So if you are an incessant complainer, you have to ask yourself, where else can you get a gift card for doing it? Only right here on the Download, the worst, tonight. Well, my next guest may have done the most important work in the history of time. I'm talking about author Edward McClellan and his book, How to Speak Midwestern. McClellan traveled the area to research and decipher the dialects and accents, breaking it down by region, inland north, midland, and north central, and of course, breaking down the phrases. The book has a glossary of Midwestern terms. For instance, in Chicago, we have dibs.
Right.
The idea of saving parking spots after snow. Or in Indiana, they call a potluck a pitch-in. Or how about in Iowa, where they call porta potties kibos? Or in Michigan, the term fudgies, which applies to tourists who come to Mackinac Island or Traverse City or other northern Michigan towns that have an abundance of fudge shops. This right here, this is God's work. Edward McClellan is a Chicago-based journalist and the author of Young Mr. Obama, Chicago and the Making of a Black President, and Nothing But Blue Skies, the Heyday, Hard Times, and Hopes of America's Industrial Heartland. Edward McClellan, good to see you. Thanks for coming in.
Good to see you, Justin.
This is amazing. Where'd you come up with this idea? I know, I mean, I've known you, you've done a ton of work. You've done a lot of journalism in town. Mm-hmm. You've these other books. What brought you towards the idea of linguistics or learning about language?
Well, it started with an article about the northern cities vowel shift. And that's said to be the biggest change in English vowel pronunciation in 1,000 years. And it's happening right here in Chicago and Detroit and Cleveland and Buffalo. So when we say, and I never thought I had an accent. I grew up in Michigan, and I went to the University of Michigan, and I asked a student from New Jersey, well, what do you hear about what Michiganders say?
Right.
And she said, well, you say can, you know, with the, and that's called the raised A, and that's part of the Northern City's vowel shift. And, you know, I went out, when I go outside the region, it pops up in ways that make it hard for people to understand me. I went to Houston, and I asked someone, how far is it to Dallas? And they said, to where? To Dale's house?
To Dale's house?
Yeah. So believe me, we have an accent in the Midwest. And, you know, what you call the broadcaster accent, that's sort of based on an earlier version of the Midwestern accent back in the 1920s. And as this vowel shift has developed, it's, you know, taken our accent, you know, sort of away from what's considered neutral American, you know, to the point where it's been parodied on Saturday Night Live,
right,
not only
right.
in the Superfan skit, but there's also a skit based on my hometown, Lansing. It was called 1-600-Lansing. And it's a phone sex line for men who like sexy South Central Michigan accents.
And then there was the
on Family Guy. You know, they got the whole Northern City's vowel shift into 1-20-second cutaway. It was a Wisconsin nymphomaniac. And when she had sex, she'd say, oh, God, oh, God, oh, crap. Oh, crap. So, you know, oh, God, that's the front of O. And that's,
right.
Of course, you hear that a lot in Chicago, you know, that long
so
O
it's,
sound.
It's such an interesting idea that, you know, we've actually, I don't know if we moved language forward, but we've changed language.
Well,
in this
and
area.
That's one thing I learned is that every language is always changing. Dialects are always changing. Every generation, you know, has its own sound. You know, what you think of as, the classic Chicago accent. That was really strongest among the World War II generation and the baby boomers. And during the last football season, I went down to a bar at 100 and Western, Wrong's Tap, if anyone's listening, shout out to Wrong's Tap, to see a Bears game and to search for the classic Chicago accent.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it was there. First of all, they were playing the Jags, which of course is hilarious in Chicago. And the score was at one point the score was 13-10, and someone said, "What are the numbers for the square for this quarter? 0 and 3." So, and then I got on the train to go back downtown, and I met a guy. He was in his 30s, and he's a firefighter from Mount Greenwood. And if anybody's entitled to have a Chicago accent, it's a firefighter from Mount Greenwood.
But right.
He didn't even sound like he was from the Midwest. And I told him about my project, and he said, yeah, you know, my dad's got a pretty strong Chicago accent, but my mom kind of beat it out of me. So among younger people,
that
you don't hear it as often.
Improper almost.
Yeah, you don't hear it as often, and especially one thing that's really fading away is what you call the D's, dem, and do's.
Right.
The D for th. The and some people say that the super fans helped kill that off because
it became such a parody of it.
Right.
And people became noticed
so,
it.
Yeah. People became so aware of it that they just started moving
do
away
you
from
think that
it
I mean as we talk about different generations and kids that might be coming up in this area or any of the areas you talk about in the region of the Midwest, mm-hmm. are we in danger of losing that dialect, of losing sort of that romantic language that is the Midwestern raised vowel?
I quote a linguist in the book, and he says there's sort of a class division now, and linguistics is a way to look at all kinds of issues like race and class. I mean, among younger working class whites, you still have those strong vowels, but among middle class speakers, they're sort of backing up. They're not as strong as they used to be. And one thing to point out, and here in the Midwest, we have the strongest what you call, I guess, accent segregation or accent divergence between whites and blacks in any part of the country.
Really?
Yeah, because it's so segregated here. When blacks moved up from the South, they were, in the Black Belt, and they were, in these neighborhoods where they were isolated socially and economically from whites. And so they, for the most part, maintained their Southern speech patterns. And it's always kind of a shock to me to go to New York and hear African Americans talking in New York accents. I was watching Saturday Night Live this week, and I was listening to Michael Shea, and I was just immediately able to pick him up as a New Yorker. And I looked him up, and he's born in Manhattan.
Yeah. Edward McClellan, my guest, his new book, How to Speak Midwestern. You talk about a couple of you kind of break it down region by region.
Yeah.
Break the region into three places. Inland North.
Right, that's where we are. Inland North goes from Rochester, New York, to Milwaukee. You go west on the New York State Thruway, you immediately start hearing. They talk about Rochester. And then there's something that's called this may be mythical, it's called the Pop Soda Line. And, of course, Pop is a marker of Midwesternism. And it's said that the Pop Soda Line is between exit 41 and 42 on the New York State Thruway. And to the east in Syracuse, they say soda. And to the west in Rochester, they say pop. And it's so fascinating that Chicagoans talk more like people from Buffalo than they talk like people from downstate Illinois. Somebody who read the book said that he was at an event with someone from Bridgeport, and they heard a guy talk and said, oh, he's got to be from the South Side. And then they met him, and it turned out he was from Buffalo.
Wow.
So, so these people, the settlers, the original Yankee settlers, traveled up the Erie Canal and across the Great Lakes.
Okay, so you got Inland North.
You've
got Midland.
Midland. And Midland is, that's across the, central Illinois, central Indiana, Ohio, into Iowa. And the signature Midland word is Warsh. Bob Knight, I play him when I go do demonstrations. He was endorsing Donald Trump, and he was telling the crowd, you people, if you go out there and vote for Donald Trump, they're going to put you up next to our founding father, George Washington.
That's right. You're right.
Yeah. So my
that
stepmother
is, that worst,
is, from,
that...
is from Granite City, and she says Warsh.
Yeah, I always wondered where that was from. I mean,
well, it's from, it's supposedly, the theory I heard is in Pennsylvania, eastern Pennsylvania, they say water for water.
Okay.
And so that O, it's like this, the O and or, and so the R got inserted in there.
The third region is North Central.
North Central. That's the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, northern Wisconsin, northern Minnesota. So this is the so-called Fargo accent or the Uper accent. And I have a whole section in the book on the proper way to use A. And it does a lot of work for a little two-letter word. I was in Munising, Michigan. And I was in Munising, Michigan, and I was going to mail something to a magazine. And the guy looked at it, and he said, Blender Magazine, eh? And I just totally missed the cue. He meant Blender Magazine. That's very interesting. Tell me all about it. So, it's what's known as a tag question. A conversational cue that confirms a listener's attentiveness or invites him to offer his own opinion or information. So, an example could be, so I'm in my tree stand, eh? And I see the six-pointer walk by. Yeah? Yeah. Or I'm just going to go grab a beer, eh? So try the Bell's Pale Ale. So many different ways to use A.
You are a chameleon. Look at you. You've got impressions of all the different accents and dialects. I don't know if that's going to get you anywhere, but it's great.
Well, it got
you
me on the download. Yeah,
it did. Edward McLellan is the author of How to Speak Midwestern. We're talking about accents and dialects here in the Midwest area. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back.
Okay.
And we'll do some more radio, eh?
All right.
So download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Edward McLellan in studio. The book, How to Speak Midwestern. We're talking about accents and dialect. One of the great things about this book is the glossary of terms in the back, the phrases that you've collected from the different areas, not just the regions you mentioned, but the towns. I mean, they're specific to Pittsburgh, St. Louis, Chicago.
And Chicago was such a great place to do this because I did a lot of my research in Big Ten bars in Chicago because every Big Ten school has a bar. That's what you do.
Right.
I graduated from Michigan State, and I ended up in Chicago. So, you know, I learned Indiana. I went to the Iowa bar, and it was on Euchre night. And there were guys wearing Bob Euchre t-shirts. So it took me a few minutes to put that together. But Euchre is a distinctively Midwestern experience.
Well, I mean, some of this stuff will cross over, you know, because of the fact that, you know, I have family in Indiana, I have family in Wisconsin. So you kind of forget what's authentic to one region and what's not just by the fact that we're in driving distance of state lines, things like that.
Yeah.
But there's others that, you know, you're right. I mean, I think about... You know, even Illinois, when you look at some of the stuff in Illinois, I mean, downstate.
Yeah, I had a horseshoe last week. Do people in Chicago even know what a horseshoe is?
I found out the hard way.
Oh, you ate one?
Yeah, I ate one.
Yeah, that is the hard way.
In Springfield.
Yeah, that's why I went to Norb Andy's.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, the horseshoe is a sandwich.
Yeah.
And it's tremendous sandwich.
Yeah, I had the pony shoe, so.
it's essentially, smaller one. Yeah, it's a.
Well, we should just say what it is. An open-faced sandwich of ham, turkey, or hamburger on two slices of toast covered with French fries and smothered in cheese sauce. It hasn't really traveled outside the central Illinois.
It's so interesting. You know, it's funny because I was just looking through the book here, and I'm like, you've got things like cooler by the lake, the phrase that is obviously a radio phrase from back in the day.
Right.
Dibs, which we mentioned. You know, everyone has a version of dibs.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not called that. Dibs is what it's called in Chicago or Illinois, but you talk to people on the East Coast, they're like, oh, we call that pick-me-ups or whatever it is. I don't know. Well, I'm making that
up. Who knows? Maybe I'll expand this to the whole country.
You have drill, which we just talked about for a whole hour. We talked about the drill hip-hop music scene.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, down the line, there's so many gym shoes, which is something you wouldn't think.
You don't say that anywhere. Really, I don't hear that almost anywhere else.
That's so interesting. It's someone from Chicago.
Front room.
Front room, right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's so good. All right, let's move on to some other, because we all know them in Chicago. Let's talk about some of the other areas.
Well, I talk about one of my favorites was from Pittsburgh, and that's Kennywood's open. And that's what you tell a guy. It's a nice way of telling a guy his fly's unzipped, because it's a reference to Kennywood, a local amusement park. At the fast food restaurant Eaton Park, a sign inside the men's room asks departing men, is Kennywood open? I mean, can we talk about the J word here? Can we say that on the radio?
What's the J word? Jag?
Well, jag.
Yeah.
It's not an obscene word.
Right.
It's from a Scots-Irish term, jag, which means thorn.
I love
so
this.
It's like somebody pricks you with a thorn.
Right.
They're annoying you. So they're a jag.
There's a tremendous, tremendous experience. This word is one, and we had...
And it's only said
Professor
in Pittsburgh
Savage
and Chicago for some reason. I don't know.
It's an Eastern European type word, too, right?
Yeah, but it goes all the way back to Northern Ireland, like so many of the Midland phrases.
That's crazy. And do you see a difference between, you know, like I said, gym, like we say gym shoe,
right?
Someone else says sneaker.
Sneaker or tennis shoe.
And gym shoe is just something that's just sort of indigenous to Illinois.
Yeah.
Why? I don't understand where that comes from.
You know, I didn't get into why we say gym shoes here, but I just know that is a uniquely Illinois phrase. Well, another one I had, and I didn't put it in the book, was, well, wear the jacket. That's a Chicago phrase. During a political scandal, an underling who takes
the fall for
his boss's misdeeds is said to wear the jacket.
Ted, I can't tell you. Like, tonight we talked about drill. We talked about wearing the jacket in the 7:30 segment about Rauner and Springfield. So I feel like this is a Chicago show.
No, we've been through all this already.
This is really a glossary of the download more than it is about Chicago. But that's so interesting.
You need to keep this with you at all times.
I mean, it's really great. it's interesting to be from Chicago and not know what some of the things mean from Indiana or Iowa. I mentioned in the intro.
What are some of the ones you
Well, I mentioned the intro, the idea of calling a potluck a pitch-in.
Right.
You know, that's stuff that I would not pick up. Mm-hmm. I would not. Or you know, the porta potties calling them kaibos. Kaibo. In Iowa.
It's an acronym for keep your bowels open.
That's so. I mean, where did do you pick up most of these phrases from sitting in those Big Ten bars? You do it from actually making a trip to Iowa. Where do you pick this stuff up?
It was both. I mean, I made a trip to Iowa. I made a trip to Minnesota. You know, I wanted to go and find out. I went to Brainerd, Minnesota, to find out. You know,
it was cold.
Yeah. Well, it was 17 below zero when I got there. It really was. I wanted to find out whether the Fargo accent is accurate, and really, it's sort of a legacy accent. You know, you would hear it if you listen to oral history recordings in the museum.
Yeah.
But I did interview the actress who played Hooker number one in Fargo, Larissa Kokorno, and right. She was the dialect coach for Frances McDormand, and she acknowledged, yeah, it was exaggerated in the service of comic relief.
Well, I mean, there's something that we know about these accents that are, so you kind of mentioned it with the super fans. I mean,
right.
There's an exaggeration to
sure.
for effect to get at the core of these things.
Right.
But I mean, I asked the question, you know, how much of these, you know, can someone with the untrained, you have the trained ear now, but someone with the untrained ear, are you picking up, you could tell if someone's from Ohio or someone's mm-hmm. from Buffalo or someone's from Minneapolis or someone's from Davenport?
I think there used to be a guy on the radio who claimed he could tell where anybody was within 50 miles just by listening to them. So, you know, I think there's certain vowel sounds that you pick up. I was able to identify someone as being from Central Ohio on a Cleveland radio show. And, you know, that's not easy because they have a pretty what you call neutral accent.
Well, I think we're about to embark on a new radio segment here on The Download, which is how do you talk? With Ted McClellan, how about that? Great book, How to Speak Midwestern is the title. It's brand new. Do you have any readings coming up? I know you just came from one tonight.
Yeah, well, I think the next one is not going to be until April 19th in Palos Heights.
Okay, there you go. Palos.
Yeah, one of the Paloses. I think it's Palos Heights.
Palos.
Yeah, Palos.
There you go.
I mean, that's
in Palos.
They got the serious Chicago accent going on down there.
Edward McClellan, the author of this book, also the author of Young Mr. Obama, Chicago and the Making of a Black President, and Nothing But Blue Skies, The Heyday, Hard Times, and Hopes of America's Industrial Heartland. The new book, How to Speak Midwestern. Ted, always great to see you. Thanks for coming
in. You too.